Love, love, love this. At the end of the podcast today, we have a fun interview with our bud, Michael Ray. He's got a new EP that's coming called Higher Education. The song Whiskey and Rain is amazing. Sounds great coming out of the speakers. And again, that's right after the closing jingle of this week's podcast.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Yeah.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, welcome back to another fun podcast, kids. How you doing? We're Big D and Bubba, and of course, the podcast sponsored by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And I'm very proud. I'm very proud, Big D, because I ran across something. I was going through the archives from several years ago looking for something else, but I ran across a gold that was a gold, probably the first gold we ever made.
Is it with labeled gold in
no.
the system?
No.
Before we even
this is before we had a name. Like the golds, okay. If you don't know, if you're new to the podcast, the golds are these little things, little moments, little things that happen during the show that we just keep for ourselves and go, oh, remember that? It's like a great memory. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the first one. We are you ready for this? Yeah. I don't think you are. I'm gonna have to play it. Here we go.
Oh, I just spilled coffee on me.
Oh, you wow. found the guy?
Yes, I found
I'd
it.
Lost
Bobby
that
McGee.
For a while.
That was a guy that we knew way back when. He and I used to play pool and drink beers at the Texas Club together. We even went as Hooter Girls to Halloween together one time.
That's right.
We had a good time. But that
Oops,
is
I
the
just
original.
Spilled coffee on myself.
That was the very first original gold before we even had a category called the Golds.
Oh, I just spilled coffee on me.
I love that.
And you know what's interesting is I always remember him saying myself.
Myself.
Yeah, I did too.
But he does, myself.
I just spilled coffee on myself.
But well, I think
he
because
doesn't even
we...
say just. Does he say just? he says something else.
Oh, I just spilled coffee on me.
He did.
I just spilled coffee on me.
Yeah, so we made him laugh enough to where he spilled coffee on himself. And that is... That's pretty great.
Isn't that our goal every day? Like, I hope at least once a day someone laughs and spills coffee on themselves.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're aiming for. So, Bobby McGee, wherever you are, whatever has happened to you, whatever life has put on your plate, hopefully it has been awesome all these years.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Well, hello, everyone, and we're glad to have you with us. I am sorry in the middle of... doing switching on video stuff and it looks weird, but I think it's got it. I think I got it now. It's all good.
Okay.
Fine. Sorry.
Big D set everything up today.
Yeah.
So everything's going to be slightly different. Not bad.
It's going to be wrong.
Not wrong, just different.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn my my thing all wonky there. Now I look like.
Yeah.
Like I'm in an episode of Batman 1966. Hold on.
So you know that technique where you. Bubba turned it sideways. That's used in lots of films, and it's used to convey
like when the Titanic
chaos
is sinking.
And yes, like in Batman when they would like start fighting or whatever, it would get kind of crazy.
Bam!
They also do it in the Twilight Zone, and they have weird angles. Also, the Twilight Zone. Every episode, they had at least one shot that was shot reflected by a mirror.
Really?
Yeah, every episode.
To be a reverse image of whatever was going on?
Well, it's just like, not necessarily, sometimes, but sometimes it would just be just an angled shot. You'd see them, but it would be bouncing off of a mirror, and they and they did that.
Who
can we
knew?
Talk
I was
about,
really into that.
Can we talk about something that came up on the show today that I didn't get to really dig in, but... I like Joe Buck. I know a lot of people hate Joe Buck, but boy, he missed it last night.
Missed what?
Just
the call?
Missed the call. Oh, gosh, man.
You're talking about the Field of Dreams baseball game.
First of all, Field of Dreams game was great. It was great. And I don't mean to get into, you know, touchy subject, but it was nice having announcers that were there. you could tell they were there in the same room together and not doing what ESPN still does, where everybody's just zooming from their house watching football.
Yeah,
or baseball. I can't even tell the difference.
I can tell when they don't. When they're not there, they talk over each other.
You can also see. It's weird. You can actually tell when they're looking at each other, going, "I remember the thing," and they turn, and you get that there is more energy.
Yeah, it was definitely there was just more energy last night. It was excitement to it. There was everything, but man, the final call of the final home run. How does he not yell, "It's in the corn"? How does he not have a Field of Dreams reference in his head? You know. And people will come, Ray. Something other than gone. Oh, thanks, Joe. Yes, it's gone. You know.
Wow, you're really nitpicky on this.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you had to be, as a play-by-play guy, and I know Joe Buck has had things in his head before, because he mirrored his dad father. With the, you know, we'll see you tomorrow night, and all this stuff. So how are you not, like, have something written on paper? If it ends in a walk-off home run, I should say, it's in the corn. Or,
just further proof that Joe Buck is the worst.
See, I told you. Some people hate Joe Buck.
What if he were to come back and go, he's a corn star?
No.
Really had hoped he was going to get that Jeopardy joke.
How did Craig Morgan not get corn star put on to the beginning of this?
Nobody knows that.
But the point is, it's corn star, and it's awesome, and it's all about, you know, just...
What's your beef with Joe Buck?
Oh, my God, he's the worst.
Did you work with him when you were at NBC?
No, he's just a smug, entitled, benefit of nepotism, wretched human being.
Oh, all right.
Oh.
Wow.
I was hoping he'd get the Jeopardy job full time, because the point was, if you got Jeopardy, you would be off my TV on Sundays. Ugh, I'd rather give up Jeopardy than have to deal with you.
I like Joe Buck. I like him doing football.
I get what she's saying, though. That he comes off as very
smug.
He's smug, and he is.
The ego on that man. You are not the one out there playing the sports, sir. Sit down. Get over it.
I do like the guy
so
that's...
so much going on
here. I really
here.
Hate him.
What's the guy? He's I think he's San Francisco's guy. Baseball. And he does the... MLB The Show video game.
I like that guy. Yeah, because I know him from MLB The Show.
Yeah, it's an unusual name.
Speaking of corn, he's the guy who really brought the can
Vaskirjan,
of corn thing.
Matt Vaskirjan.
That's it.
Yeah, Matt Vaskirjan. He brought the can of corn thing into commonplace. And
who?
Matt Vaskirjan was the guy who, on the video game years ago, he would go, every time somebody caught a routine pop fly, the video game would go, hey, it's a can of corn. Every single time. And then he would go into this thing twice a game where they would tell the story of, and the reference comes from, you would knock it off the top shelf and just catch it. Okay. And it would be a very easy catch. So it was a can of corn catch. And it was like this goofy reference from like our grandparents' era. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, all the kids on the playground would be like, it's a can of corn. And that went on for a long time. And I still hear it today.
You don't hear it a whole lot
anymore.
But you
anymore. Do. Well, because they took it out of the game because it was so overdone.
You hear it some at games, but usually from older guys.
Like, I'm just saying, I'm going back to Joe Buck.
Yeah, who played the game.
You're sitting there. You know this guy's got a chance to win the game with one swing. You see the ball going over the fence. How do you not just stand there and go, it's gone. Well, we're out of here. I best be gone before Alicia starts thinking I got a girlfriend. Throw in a
what happens when
reference.
You're handed your job. Oh the gosh. Lack of creativity. Just because your dad
I
was
didn't
good.
Know Carson was going to bring that James Vanderbeek hate with Joe Buck.
Is there anyone you do like?
I do. It's like, what's his face? Willie Geist. Can't stand him either. On the Today Show, he does like the Sunday morning stuff. Another one, your dad was famous and good what he did, so we handed you a network job.
Who was his dad?
Something. I don't know. He was like a big reporter dude or something. He was, again.
Ed Geist.
Somebody. It's just the nepotism runs rampant and it just puts a bad, bad taste in my mouth. Wow. So that's the genesis of my dislike for Joe Buck. But he has done nothing to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Except be it.
I just spilled coffee on me.
She wasn't in here.
She didn't. No. It's an old school. It's an oldie but a goodie. I thought the Field of Dreams game and presentation was done very well, Patrick.
Yeah.
The pregame, I caught part of it, but I heard it was really, really good.
It was good.
And when they walked out of the corn,
amazing.
It was goosebumps. Carson said she cried.
I did.
Teared up.
And Kevin Costner she didn't did even. Great... She's Carson's never watched the movie.
It was just very moving, though.
Kevin Costner.
That, you know what it is? That music.
Yeah, the music's huge. But when he was just walking out there and he just had, when the players start coming, he had this look on his face like he wasn't smiling. He looked like he was about to cry. Like it was very, you know, he acted his way through it and it was really well done. I was impressed by the whole thing.
I even Googled where I could watch Field of Dreams this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, the only free app looks like it's on Peacock.
Yeah, you can watch it with
commercials on Peacock.
I pay for the upgraded Peacock.
Yeah, me too.
Because, I don't want to watch commercials during Yellowstone.
Yeah, I own it. I thought it was, I think it's a worth owning. I haven't seen it in a few years, but this all this talk about the game and stuff, can you bring her camera up some? All the talk of the game and the Field of Dreams and it's just so
I thought the presentation was good. I gotta be honest, my favorite thing was how they tried to make everything look homemade. Like, to me, that was the coolest thing ever. You know, having all the wood and, you know, just everything was great. Like, they could have made it look like any other minor league park. They could have done it to where it was whatever. But they went full Hollywood on it. And they made it really authentic feeling.
Because so you liked that?
I did.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I saw a bunch of people on Twitter going, this looks hokey and all that kind of stuff. And the whole idea was it was supposed to look like an old-time ballpark from back in the day. I mean, look, in the 1800s, early 1900s, they weren't playing in these giant palatial palaces of baseball like what we have now.
Yeah.
They were playing on little things like that. And
did you notice the batter's eye was the
yes.
It looked like a barn?
Mm-hmm.
The silhouette of a barn?
Yep.
So cool. And it had openings for cameras to come out of. They kind of like a little hole or whatever.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they had three cameras in the outfield. Set up in the scaffolding behind it.
There were angels in the outfield.
That's a whole different...
I'm sorry, that was ghosts. Man,
sorry, that was ghosts.
It's a different movie.
Which, by the way, it was a great movie.
Angels in the outfield?
What's the one with the little kid who breaks his arm and all of a sudden
That's
I was going to say Million
Little
Dollar
Big
Baby.
League.
Yeah, Little Big... No. I don't know, but one of my favorite baseball movies, too.
The kid who starts throwing movies. Really hard?
Yeah, he breaks his arm, and all of a sudden he comes with the heat.
Yeah, and they sign him.
Yeah, and then, spoilers, they fix it at the end, and he can't play anymore.
Oh, thanks.
Well, there's a movie I don't have to watch.
It's good, though.
What is the last movie you've watched, Carson?
I watched the new Suicide Squad. I put that on last week.
How's that?
Not spectacular.
I haven't liked any of the Suicide Squad stuff at all. I tried to watch the Harley movie.
Yeah.
The one
Birds of Prey.
Yeah, and that was bad too.
I didn't watch that. I liked the original Suicide Squad, which I know puts me in a very weird minority because a lot of people didn't care for Jared Leto as the Joker. But I love Margot Robbie, and I didn't think they made as good use of her in this most recent movie.
Again?
Yeah. Well, the first Suicide Squad, I thought she was really good.
So do you think, did you watch the Zack Snyder, whatever, mega cut of Justice League?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you have to watch it. It's 4 hours long, but it's...
4 hours. You know how many episodes of like a TV show
I
can watch 4 hours?
What I was going to tell you is it's broken into episodes.
Yeah.
So like as you're watching, all of a sudden there'll be a cut screen and it'll say chapter two or whatever it will. Oh, and just stop it right there and go on to doing whatever.
Is Ben Affleck Batman in that one?
It's actually really good.
Nope, thank you.
In spite of. What happened? I thought you were all on Ben and Jen recently.
Yes, I'm a very big fan when he's got Jennifer Lopez next to him and they're vacationing in Italy, but I don't care for him wearing the cape and cowl.
I will go with you on that one
and
agree.
What?
The cape and cowl.
You know, the Batman mask.
Ears.
They call that a cowl?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Moo.
It's called cowl.
Yeah.
The cape and cowl.
Did I say it wrong, cow?
No. Wouldn't it be great if like they wore a cow? Like the cape and like just a cow. Here we go.
It's a moo point.
That's
a friend's joke.
She's utterly awesome.
It's like a cow's opinion.
Showing her spots. Okay.
The Friends?
It's a Friends reference.
I maybe watch one entire episode of Friends. I think the last episode I watched.
You've seen enough. That's about all you need.
I've seen a bunch, just never in order.
See, man, Carson's hating on Friends. Carson's hating on Joe Buck.
She is not.
I liked Friends when it was out and popular, but the undying love people have for this show, bless them. I don't think it's particularly rewatchable.
I do.
I get very irritated.
What's that one you like? How I Met Your Mother.
Love How I Met Your Mother. Love it.
Carson, can you just turn your mic off?
Carson loved How I Met Your Mother.
Just like me. Ended so badly.
5 minutes of that show can...
So
I was going to say something inappropriate. I hate it so much.
I thought you liked the way it ended.
I loved it. I loved the last season. I loved the last episode. I loved all of it. Last 5 minutes.
They made
the worst. Last 5 minutes?
They undid everything that they did seasons that really you made me watch this entire show, which I did love and I thought was brilliant. And then you just negated all of it.
Been out for like 5 years.
I know, but people still watch stuff new.
Now How I Met Your Father is coming out.
Yeah, I thought that already came out.
They tried to do that.
They tried to do it, and it never hit the... How I Met Your Dad was the name back then. Yes. Now it's How I Met Your Father, and it's Hillary Duff, right?
Yes, it is. My Lizzie McGuire, since we're not getting the Lizzie McGuire reboot, boo.
Wait, I thought that was coming too.
No, they pulled the plug on that, man. I was so excited for my Lizzie to make her way back.
Have they pulled the plug on the Obi-Wan thing, mm-hmm. the series? Okay, so
no,
that's still
happening. No, they've been
filming that. Okay. All right, well, I just didn't know.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor's been posting about that.
Okay, see, I don't follow mm-hmm. him on Twitter and mm-hmm. stuff. I try not to follow celebrities on Twitter, especially people out, because Obi-Wan is my favorite character of all of Star Wars. Just always has been. I don't like to follow characters or the actors who play characters that I really love, because I don't want them to say something I don't like.
Mm.
You know, it goes back to that whole you never want to meet your heroes kind of thing. I don't want to know too much.
Nathan Fillion made fun of Def Leppard on Twitter one day, and I was done.
I loved him.
I loved him a lot. Love Nathan Fillion. Then I went, nope.
Like he was
I can't,
great.
I can't heart you anymore.
What was that cop show that he was doing after Firefly? He did.
Castle. Do you remember the show on ABC?
That's
Castle?
It. Castle, the cop show.
Yeah,
that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of him as the writer. And
he made fun of Def Leppard, and now you
hate
him?
Dead to me. We're done.
Okay, what about that Irish band that I went and saw, Def Leprechaun?
Yeah, I mean, they can do what
they weren't
they
making
want.
Fun of. That was just their name.
But they're not celebrities.
You found out that Joe Buck is, like, friends with one of the Leppard people.
I mean, we all make mistakes.
And yeah.
I've been friends with questionable characters.
I'm just saying, would it make you like Joe Buck more to find out he's a huge Def Leppard fan?
No, I'd be like, oh, well.
He and Joe, is that one of
them? He's not as stupid as I thought.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Still, he's just so harsh.
Maybe his makes his face less punchable. I don't know.
God, that's punchable.
Man. You know, I always think.
Why don't guys line up at your door again?
Oh, man.
My neighbor Daryl told me I looked pretty the other day.
Oh, Daryl.
Hey, listen, of all this talk about Daryl that you've had over the years, you're whittling it down to zero options.
That's right. You know what?
You're going to come in one day and go, well.
Nope.
You know what? You can always tear that wall down between your house and Daryl's house and make it a duplex.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, he's so. Oh.
Desperate times call for.
Never that desperate. I could be with anyone. I'd rather be alone.
Maybe he's just putting a front. Maybe he doesn't. You intimidate him, and so he doesn't know how to react around you, and so he comes off.
Maybe
awkward.
I've been as charming to him as I have been during this podcast.
Maybe that's quite possible.
Yep,
actually.
Quite possible.
Oh man, how many times have you had him move his vehicle?
Oh,
out
I had
of
to do it 2 weeks
spot?
Ago. Who is it? Hey, Daryl, it's Carmen.
He doesn't know her name. He calls
me Carmen, 100%.
I love how you call yourself Carmen now. Why fight it?
All right, well, from now on, the rest, she is Carmen. So everyone,
so
please.
So much easier. Hey, Daryl. Oh, you mean move my truck? He already knew there was a problem. Already knew. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a chick leaving her scarf at a guy's house.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yeah,
as a reason to go back.
He's I want to see Carmen today.
This is a classic
move. I'm
going
to put my truck right here.
This guy is well-versed in the arts.
I mean, I told you, he had the girl that came over to my house because he locked himself out. Like, I need to get on your deck because I need to get to my deck, because he leaves his slider door open or something. And I thought, wow, Daryl's going to scale the fence between the... Nope, he had some girl do it. He brings this girl in my house and she's just scurrying on up. And I thought, man, I don't know what your game is, but you're playing it well. You got her doing it.
Wow. Good for you, Dick. Go Daryl.
I've heard lots about you, Carmen.
I want to know, what TV show did you... Have you ever watched a TV show all the way through and...
That you loved?
That you and loved, all like wrapped up good and everything? Or
I have a guess. I have a guess. X-Files.
No.
What? Yeah. You no. used to, man. He would come in and just like be like, did you watch last night?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't. And I may have watched all of it. I don't remember. I do remember 24 was a big one, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I watched
it all
the way through.
I feel like you trail off before the show's end, though, usually.
Yeah.
Well, with X-Files, it was fair because you had like Mulder and Scully leave. Yeah. So it was still harder to kind of get in with Robert Muldoon and stuff. That would be forgivable.
One show I really liked was Scrubs, which was on NBC. And then it had like 7 or 8 seasons or something. And the finale was perfect. It was the last 10 minutes of that show. They wrapped everything up nicely. It was great. And then they came back for another season with only half the cast and kind of like a reworked idea.
Why would they do that? Kind
of like, money, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, money.
Yes. Oh, it was awful. It was awful. And then nobody watched it. So now people list that as the finale. Like the season 9 finale, and I'm like, no, that didn't count.
Was he really?
It was really, and it was really good too.
What was the Community thing? 6 seasons and
six seasons in a movie.
Yeah, which we still haven't gotten that movie.
Waiting on the movie.
Did they have 6
Community,
seasons?
By the way, if you guys are looking for a good show to binge, that is a very bingeable, fun show because there's a lot of running gags in it. The Beetlejuice thing, I think, is fantastic. So, like, they would mention Beetlejuice. Well, the third time they said his name on a totally different episode, you see in the background, Beetlejuice walks by. Because you remember if you said his name, Beetlejuice.
Yes, I got it.
I mean, there was like little things that you
like
really.
That.
It is. They do so many little Easter eggs. They're great.
Carson and I have talked a lot about TV
Carmen.
Shows. I'm sorry. Carmen and I have talked a lot about TV shows that existed before you could go and watch everything and binge it. So, like with Friends, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't add up. Like somebody mentions their birthday and it's in February, and then they're celebrating their birthday 4 seasons later and it's in November. And, you know, things like that. Frasier mentions in Cheers that his dad is dead.
Well, in Cheers, there's so many, I guess, continuity issues like that. I believe in Frasier, Frasier's an only child. His dad is dead. His mom's alive. They switch that in Frasier that the mom is dead and the dad's alive. And then you have Roz. And then the guy that plays his dad, John Mahoney, I think. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, I'm not sure David Hyde Pierce, but they all made guest spots on Cheers.
Yeah.
So, and Roz is in the final season of Cheers as a reporter doing a story about Woody. And because I'm a dork for that stuff, I'm like...
Yeah. Back then, not only did people not have streaming, you didn't... The idea of buying a whole series on cassette, it didn't exist.
On
like
VHS.
Even if you had the money, like buying a whole series on DVD in 2000, when I bought the first 3 seasons of Friends in 2002, I think, or 2001, and that was outrageous. Like $40 for the whole season.
Well, I remember it was
bucks.
Like just to get the first 3 original Star Wars on VHS, it was like $90 back in the day. Then they re-released it like a year later as a special edition, and it had like an extra scene or two, and then they went and did another one. I can't tell you how many times George Lucas has dipped into my pocket and pulled money out of it because he kept doing these new releases.
But well, the thing
here's the silver edition, the gold edition, the whatever.
Yeah, the thing with the TV shows is when that wasn't a thing, so they didn't think anybody would notice. Like they're not.
Well,
people aren't going to notice that we had a little continuity flub, or that we messed up where we said this person went to school, or we messed up with something. Nobody cared. Now, like shows like Mad Men that were started after streaming was a thing, and they knew people were going to go back and watch it, so they built it from the beginning, knowing that everybody was going to go back and question everything.
Which is why people like Lucasfilm and all that had. Basically, continuity people. They were world
lords. Yeah, but it's easy
lords.
To do
they would
that
be like, they would go and say,
you're doing 3 movies, or even 9 movies, or even 20 movies.
But they would do when it with doing... the books, too. They were going, they went to the different things. And basically, if it was in the books, it wasn't canon. If it was in the movies, it was.
That wasn't always the way it was. They changed it. They went back afterwards and declared the books weren't canon.
Yeah.
But what do y'all mean canon?
Like law.
Canon means real.
That
basically.
Exists in the same, yeah. That
it's part of the story. It's part of the lore. Part of the story.
So basically whatever was in the books became classified kind of like fan fiction almost.
Yeah.
But they still would bring certain characters from the books in. You know, like throw. I know. I'm just.
He just went full Star. Like he just co-opted a thing and made it Star Wars nerd.
Well, my favorite soap forever because my grandmas both watched it, and I loved all my children, and I watched it up through. I was in college. I would set the VCR every day to record it, and I got so irritated where they took one character and hooked her up with another because of the backstory. And I get it. It was 10 years later.
What soap?
It was All My Children.
Okay.
And I got so irritated that they hooked up Trevor and Janet. Do we not remember that Janet threw Natalie, Trevor's fiance, she threw Natalie in a well, and then she married Trevor pretending to be Natalie. And I was like, this wouldn't, I was so incensed. I stopped watching All My Children, and now they're off the air. So that's on you, writers. That's it.
Ruthless.
Carmen's never happy.
Carmen is never happy.
Carmen, matter. Are you watching Virgin River?
Yes.
Okay. Are you caught up?
Yeah, this new season felt like it could have been done in an episode. It
because
wasn't great.
What they did was they filmed it during the lockdowns.
Yeah.
So you had all the stuff where Hope didn't want to be part of the cast because she was all afraid. And then you see.
Annette O'Toole is a treasure. If she doesn't want to be there, that's okay. I love her.
Really?
Yeah, she's married to Michael McKean. She starred as Lola in the Copacabana made-for-TV movie.
Really?
Yes. As a Fanilow, I can tell you
I was hoping they were going to kill her off. I really was. Oh.
She called herself a Fanilow.
It's unbelievable.
That's what
I used
Barry
to talk
Manilow
to my
fans.
Third grade teacher about Barry Manilow, so that tells you where my head was at. But.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to marry him one day.
Mr. Stefano! I
no,
went to
you're
the
not.
Concert. No. Amazingly enough, that dream did not come true. Also, Barry is married to Gary, which that just seems
confusing.
Right. Like there's
so what name did Gary take or did Barry take? Is it now Gary Manilow?
I mean, that
which is like an alternate universe Barry Manilow.
He's
Barry
got like
Manilow's
half a mask.
Like, yeah, he's like not as good, you know.
If you like Barry Manilow, you'll love Gary
at
Manilow.
At the Slopa, Slopa Solana.
Do you remember when Gallagher, the comedian, do you remember
brother?
This story? His brother was going around doing his act and pretending to be him.
Yeah.
No.
He kind of looked like him.
And he had to sue
that.
His brother. Remember
sue,
that?
Yeah, well, at first smashing he let him watermelons? Do it. Yeah, at first he let him do it as long as he let people know it wasn't really him. And he would let him just kind of go do Gallagher's old material. Because, again, before VHS and streaming, you wanted to see Gallagher. And he's not coming to the middle of nowhere town where you are. Well, his brother came as Gallagher 2, T-O-O, Gallagher 2. And so they did. He let him do it for a while. And then it kind of got weird. And he was trying to book clubs that Gallagher would normally play in. So he stopped it.
So, in other words, he got popular enough. He was starting
well,
to get big.
Not popular enough, but he was getting.
He was using the name to get himself.
Interfering with the other business. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And all was, that because you sledgehammered a watermelon.
Oh, no, dude. I love Gallagher. Gallagher was so funny. Forget the watermelon stuff. That stuff was funny, too. It was people who think, oh, you just smash stuff. The whole thing, the whole parody
very,
of it, the way it was
smart.
Done.
He
was
extremely
smart. We had him on the show one time, and I wasn't here. And you guys have no idea how much that pained me. When I was, by the time I was 13 years old, I had rented from Alfalfa Video all of the Gallagher specials on VHS and watched all of them.
So did his routine lead up to a smashing?
It always ended with
right,
10
I know
minutes
that,
of that.
I know, because I'm sure like my dad watched it, and I was a kid going, like, oh, God, this guy with the watermelon again. And I didn't pay attention to the comedy part. Like, oh, is this over?
It was very... I don't know.
It was intelligent. Yes, it was very intelligent.
So the smashing of the watermelons, I don't remember anything about Gallagher. And I remember the brother. I think the brother came in once.
No, it was Gallagher.
It was actual Gallagher? I didn't know who was here then.
No, we talked to him about how.
I love it if it was the brother.
We referred to him as his brother the entire time.
That happened in the 80s. That was way before us. But, yeah. But I don't know, man. He's still out there. He's a weird dude.
And Gallagher, the original brother, is... passed away, right? He's dead?
No, Gallagher's... What are you talking about? No, Gallagher's still out there.
I thought he died.
No, he's still out there. He's still doing his thing.
I thought his brother smashed him with a giant mallet.
I don't know what happened to his brother.
I'll be the only Gallagher now.
Luckily, I had plastic sheeting, so I didn't get him.
I just remember... There's one special
I thought Gallagher died.
I had seen the most when I was a kid, and I now have it on DVD. It was called Gallagher the Maddest. And at the end, he's standing there in the middle of the watermelon thing, and he goes, I don't want to end a two-hour show with a moment of abject stupidity. And I was like, well, but you did. And sadly, that's what most people take away. 30 years later, most people just remember that he used to smash stuff. But God, it was...
Yeah, that's all I knew.
I loved him. I saw him live when I was 14. I got good grades on my report card, and my dad bought tickets for us to go see Gallagher at the Hyman Performing Arts Center in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Man, I am still blown away
that he's alive.
That Gallagher is alive.
Yeah, he's alive, man.
I'm like, this is the
I tried last year to figure out how to get him on the show, but we were in the pandemic. And, like,
and he's 75, and he wasn't, yeah. No, I'm just blown away. For some reason, this is like the Sinbad Shaquille O'Neal thing. Oh. I have a distinct memory of Gallagher dying and his brother becoming him.
No, that's not how it went down.
Wow.
His brother just stole money from him by pretending to be him for a while.
Who knew? Who knew?
Wow, Patrick.
Yeah.
None of that surprised any of us.
What, that I'm a nerd?
Yes.
And I like
he knew all of that? by the way, Rookie of the Year was the movie. Thank you, Justin. Rookie of the Year was the kid with the arm and the...
What was the heat. Little Big League? Little Big League was another movie. Was that the kid owns the team in that one? I don't know, man. There's a lot of baseball
movies. What's the one
with
Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell?
League of Their Own
is a great movie. I
almost said Field of Their Own.
Did you know they're doing a TV show, League of Their Own, now?
Please don't. I thought they already did that.
Nope. Amazon is doing a League of Their Own TV show. Man. Rosie O'Donnell is going to have like a cameo. She's not playing it. But yeah, that was why it came
on
my radar.
Don't ruin excellent things.
I actually love that movie. It's
that
a
movie
great
is,
movie.
Yeah,
almost
it's fantastic.
Perfect. It's just fantastic.
Is Tom Hanks in that?
Yes.
He's the manager.
There's no crying
he's
in baseball.
So good.
That's it. Yeah.
Are you crying? So great, man.
I don't think there's any Tom Hanks movie that I don't like. I don't think so.
One of my favorite movies
of all
time.
Have you ever seen Joe versus the Volcano?
I was about to tell you one of my favorite movies of all time is Joe versus the Volcano.
I was trap-talking it, and Bubba loves it.
We know.
Of course he does.
I love that movie. Like with the symbolism, with the lightning and the crack and the broken road and how they use it throughout the entire movie is just brilliant.
Speaking of Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, I cannot stand Sleepless in Seattle. I think it's atrocious.
I don't remember it.
It is
I was
awful.
Not old enough,
it
I think, to watch
just
rom-coms.
Awful. Like, what?
You weren't married enough to watch them.
Is it kind of schleppy?
No, it's just like, she hears him on the radio. Okay, I guess that's cool. But then she falls in love with him, and like they, it's so dumb. Like,
they're
why
neighbors
you,
or something?
No. She lives on the other side of the country.
No, that's the that's
when
the
Harry
email.
No, I like that movie.
The Tom Hanks.
You've got mail.
You've got mail. That's it. Yeah.
I like that one. That was better. But no, yeah, it's just so.
It's schmaltzy.
Schmaltzy. Yeah, you're going to fall in love with somebody you've never met.
On because the radio, because he said, I'm sad.
Speaking of Meg Ryan, is she going to be in the new Top Gun? This is something we need to know.
In the old Top Gun?
Yeah, she was Goose's wife.
Man, take me to bed or lose me to forever.
Oh,
you don't remember that?
Yeah,
that was Meg Ryan.
That's right.
I've never seen Top Gun.
You've never seen Top Gun? You have to come to my house so you can watch it on the big screen, the speakers, and the whole... Yeah, yeah. Dude.
It's,
oh, wow.
It's great.
How have you never
right?
seen
I don't
that?
Know. I just never did. I never got there.
It's a great movie.
Val Kilmer. Prime Val Kilmer. Dude, he's...
Isn't there a Val Kilmer documentary
yes,
out now?
Yes, on Amazon.
Oh,
yeah.
So apparently that was part of the reason they had the initial filming delay was because Val ended up looking like me, and then they had to stop and then get Val back into shape.
You are a Sports Illustrated cover boy compared to freaking.
I think they got Val back into shape.
Yeah, but he was also sick.
Yeah, he even had a disease of some sort.
Oh, crap. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Like,
he looked like he got stung by bees. And
he was in some dire straits.
Yeah, he
man.
Was about to die. Oh, my bad.
Well, they got him into shape.
That's usually what I do.
That's usually what you do. I never forget. We were watching New Year's Eve like 20 years ago. One of my buddies walks in because he was outside smoking or something. And he walks into the room and goes, good God, did Dick Clark have a stroke or something? And the entire living room of people turned and just went, Yes, he did.
Yeah, you're a terrible person.
Oh,
yeah, he had a stroke, man.
So bad.
I still can't believe they left.
I'm sorry.
This is awful. I can't imagine. I, I guess it wasn't their fault. I guess he wanted to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But what he was talking about such, Dick Clark. He definitely wanted to keep doing it. He was in such bad shape.
And yeah. it was hard to watch.
Strokes are the scariest thing, man. They really are. I work usually a stroke every couple of days with the fire department, and you can see the fear in their eyes because they know that stuff isn't working. They know what the, they can. They're thinking clearly, but they cannot express it. They can't control it. They don't know what's going on, and they're just afraid.
Scary.
And it really that is the scariest thing. Look, if you are listening right now and you have high blood pressure or anything like that, or just try to get it under control. Because
here's something else. I was involved in a charity event once for stroke, and one of the things they said is the earlier you get help. Mm-hmm. The better you have a chance of recovering. I mean, obviously, stroke can kill you, but a lot of people don't die, but then they never fully recover. So as soon as you notice that you have numbness or...
What's the... there's an acronym.
Oh, I don't know.
There's something about raising your arms, speaking. Yeah. But yeah, there's a stroke acronym. There's supposed to be like four or five things that you do to check if you're feeling weird.
SFA, speech, face, arms.
Okay.
And act fast. I don't know what the T stands for, but it'll always be on one side. It'll always be on one side. So if you notice that like one arm is numb or one side of your face is numb, call 911. Get Bubba to your house as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because that you have a much better chance.
I will help
of recovering.
Load you onto a stretcher and into the ambulance. That's what I'll do.
A friend of mine had a stroke a couple of years ago, and it started because he worked from home. He was a telecommuter anyway before COVID, and he went to go type in his password to log into his computer, and his hands wouldn't type. And he's like, I know my password. And he called a friend of his. He's like, yeah, I guess I'm not feeling well.
How did he call his friend? If he can't type, how did he dial the phone?
I don't know if all he had to do was push a button
Call Gary Manilow.
And his friend was like, I think he needs to ask. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll drive myself. And his friend goes, no, you need to call an ambulance. You can't drive. If you can't punch in your password on a keyboard, don't put yourself behind a wheel. I think he was afraid. He thought, like, maybe the dude was drunk from the night before. Mm-hmm. But his friend had said that, like, honestly, I just thought you were, like, wasted.
It is face, arm, speech, time, fast. Because the faster you call...
Yeah, the sooner you know. and that's... it's crazy, man. I don't know. That's the hardest thing. I've seen a lot of terrible things over the past several years, but that is the one that every time I do it, I just... my heart hurts for them, for their family, for everybody, because there's nothing you can do. I mean, by the time the stroke happens, the first symptom really is the stroke. Mm-hmm. So by the time it happens, it's already too late.
But
so
no, that's what we just I know.
But I'm saying it's already happened is what I'm saying. So the severity of the stroke is
it can literally happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. That's the other one.
Any age, any time. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Well, this has been fun.
Well, thanks. Took a turn for the worse there.
I just spilled coffee on me.
Michael Ray. We had a good time with Michael Ray. Always good to see him. And he came in the studio. He's going to be part of the ending of the podcast.
Very cool. Yeah. And also, he is coming back on the show in a couple weeks. So we're going to have that whenever the EP comes out for Higher Education. Y'all all good?
He was yawning, and he was trying to get me on camera yawning because he's Big D. Oh. He does. He missed it.
I did miss it. He looked like a rhino about to eat it. And I was like, my fingers won't work. Oh, what was that? Fast.
How dare you? I can't believe y'all making jokes about strokes.
We're not making jokes about strokes.
We're making jokes about stroke jokes.
But thank you again.
I do like
O'Reilly.
The song. That's what helped me a lot.
What? The stroke? The song? I've been stroking.
Or stroking.
I've been stroking.
He's stroking.
Do you guys say that when you're heading out to a call?
No.
Never.
No, okay.
Never, you know, it's funny because
we joke around.
If you can't feel your face or one of your two arms, then call 911 and try to do no harm. You'll be stroking.
See, I said as a one-off, like
I just went, man.
And your boy went full.
Clarence Carter.
Yeah, people will give me a. a stern look. But when you do that, I hate you. That's when you start getting letters.
Dummy. What? I was trying to make a thing about it.
I can skirt the line. You can't.
I was talking about how to, you know, make it memorable so people could do the fast thing.
Why are you still talking?
I don't know. Why is Bubba not playing the game?
I am ashamed. I am ashamed of our buddy.
Save us.
All right. Well, you know. I'm going to let this go a little longer.
This was the podcast.
Oh, false alarm.
No, you're still in the hook.
This was the podcast.
Get the net.
This is the fattest fish I've ever seen. Over, but that's okay. You can listen to the regular show.
Probably not. Fish, what?
On the radio. Every day.
Well, this was the podcast. Probably the final one.
Hey, Michael Ray's in the studio. Good to see him again. What's up? How are you, man?
Great, man.
Always looking good.
Great to be back.
We were having a great off-air conversation before the song ended about just sound and how things have changed. You know, we were talking about, you know, like at home, I have 7.1 surround. And like you hear, when you're watching a battle scene, you hear bullets whizzing by and you're ducking and all that kind of stuff. And, man, we are really getting spoiled.
We are, man. What we were talking about was, I remember my great aunt and uncle, my Uncle Charlie and my Aunt Debbie, they were the first of the trailer hood to get surround sound speakers, you know, but it was when surround sound was 19 speakers in one box, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You had to strategically put in places throughout the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And he called my dad, he's like, Apollo 13 just came out on like VHS.
Okay.
And he was like, you got to bring the kids over, man. Mm-hmm. You're not going to believe this. Mm-hmm. And all of us were just, it was like we were in the movies, you know, and they lived in this single wide trailer, so it really shook it, you know, and you're just like, it was like, I mean, it's like the walls were moving on this thing.
They lived in a single wide trailer, but they had 19 speakers. Oh,
all the rivets were popping.
Hey, listen, you got to,
that's
you,
my people that's right there.
That's right. Yeah, it was, I remember that very vividly, my dad going, hey, we're going over to Charlie and Debbie's. They just set that surround sound that they got. We're going to go watch Apollo 13. I remember Tom Hanks taking off in that space shuttle, and I was like, I felt like I was in it, you know, when I was like 8 years old.
Have you seen the ones where they have rumble, that things
under the
in
seat?
Your seats?
Yeah.
So that when you're sitting on the couch, it'll like...
I like that. Like I watch those movies over and over and over.
Seems like the DVD skipping.
This scene keeps playing. I don't know why.
Hey, did you ever have the laser disc? Do you remember that?
Which was that?
Oh, he's too young.
That was way before
Laserdisc.
So the only exposure I had to Laserdisc is I had a neighbor who was from Greece, and like he thought Laserdisc were the greatest thing. So like we were over here playing DVDs, and he was watching movies on these. It looked like a record.
It's the size of a vinyl record.
But it was a CD, no, and it was a video. It was a movie.
Yeah, before DVDs, like the only reason I saw them is they had them at school, and they had like... Three, you know, they had a DVD or a Laserdisc player. They had three Laserdiscs they could show.
So it looked like a DVD has that kind of that metallic,
right,
reflective, shiny kind of different colors you can kind of see through. That's the way it looked, but it was big. It looked like a giant CD, and it was supposed to be the best high quality. Whoa. And
yeah,
it was 2 months. I'm sure. And it was
gone. I bet you the guy that invented that hates the guy that realized he could downsize it and make it a DVD. You know, because he was probably like, man, yeah, right. I'm on it. Yeah. I got it. And then some jerk was like,
this guy has a people to kill list. Yeah. The DVD guy's name is at the top.
It's like the end of Billy Madison. He's just putting the lipstick on and scratching the names off.
Compression technology?
Not on my watch.
He already called his wife. He's like, baby, get that caddy. We're in. And then this jerk had to come up and downsize it.
All right. So we've covered movies. Let's talk music. Hang tight. We're coming right back with Michael Ray.
Michael Ray's joining us. And by the way, congrats on Whiskey and Rain. That song is, we're just talking about it.
Straight up 90s.
Yeah, it's so good.
Thanks,
2000.
Man. Thank you.
Awesome.
I heard the opening little lick and I thought, am I playing the right song? Is this a new song? This is awesome. It has that feel like. You could have released that in 1994.
If I were to say, hey, here's the new Gary Allen song from 96. I mean,
sure.
Hey, Diamond Rio has a new one out. Have you heard it? It's
No, there's not enough Telecaster popping for that to be a Diamond Rio.
Here's
song.
A new one from Restless Heart.
Oh, that's right. That's better.
And it's about 18 octaves lower than where Diamond Rio sings.
I was talking about something. You know, in the 70s and 80s, you had like the Statler Brothers and the Oak Ridge Boys, and they always had somebody in the band. And then we got to the 90s, and it was like Diamond Rio going, we're going to go in the other direction.
Yeah.
Who can sing the highest?
Who can sing the highest?
Well, that was also because I think it was a reaction from 80s rock and roll. Because 80s rock and roll was everybody had these high pitched voices.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So then in the 90s, the grunge thing came in and country went to the high end and the grunge thing went to.
I don't know, but at the end of Unbelievable, they hit notes that I'm not 100% sure are human.
Oh, they're not human.
And there are a couple, there are probably notes in there that only dogs can hear that we don't even notice.
Them, Shea Mooney, and Gary LaVox. That's it. I think they're the only three people that hear those notes.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to hear this Unbelievable note.
Listen
real
to the
quick.
End of Unbelievable.
All right, like how much time?
Like literally the last 5 seconds.
All right. Yeah, there's a guy
right
in the background.
Now, you can't hit that note.
And every one of their songs, they always had the one note that made it where I could not cover their songs in high school. You know what I mean? They had the one where I was like, oh, I can do that one, and then someone's going to do the... And I'm like, no, I'm out. Never mind.
Scratch that one.
Well, this is it. It's Michael Ray. Here's Whiskey and Rain. Michael Ray in the studio with us, and we're talking about the EP that's coming out, and I know you're excited for it, but you've got a lot of people who've been working with you on this. Talk about some of the friends.
Man. Yeah, it all started during quarantine. I think it just hit me that everything got taken away from us, just like that. Everything that we all knew, everything that we loved, everything that, the world loves coming together, everything got gone. And I think I've really had a kind of a come to Jesus moment with myself of like, all right, well, if that was really it, am I 100% proud and happy of everything that I've put out up to this point? Or is there some stuff that I think that I haven't done? Did I play the game too much on some things? Did I give when I should have maybe stood up a little bit? Very grateful for everything, but did I really give it? Is this it? And it wasn't. And so I knew what I came to town to do. I know what I fell in love with in country music. I knew when I was 8 years old, learning how to play, Today I Started Loving You Again and Lady Down on Love and, Gary Allen. I was learning every Gary Allen song, Known to Man, whenever he first came out, when I first heard his stuff. And I was like, man, that's the stuff I love. And that's, and I remember friends of mine that aren't even in the music industry, they'd be like, man, I don't think anybody, you've never even tapped into this, it's always been this sound, but like, this is what you feel like you naturally do.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with my management team and my label at Warner and management team at Morris Heim. And I went to them and was like, hey, here's what I want to do. This is what I have in my mind. This is what I have in my heart. I want to, if these songs came out today, if the songs that inspired me in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, what if some of those songs came out today? So we started working with Ross Copperman on this record. And he really helped blend that. He's written
everything
everybody's listening to on their playlist. So he has. I just really feel like he always had his finger on the pulse of like what was next or what was great at that moment. And so we went with him. And I've known Ross for a long time. And this is our first time ever working together. And so it started there. And then we just hit that groove with Whiskey and Rain right away and a song called Holy Water that's on the EP. And then. Man, one day I was at my buddy Tim Montana's house just listening to songs we've been writing during quarantine, and he played me a song called Higher Education. And I'd been wanted a collaboration on this record, but I wanted it to be like with people that I'm boys with, or friends with, and not just like, oh, hey, let's pitch it with this person so you could ride that coattail, or hey, this will get you in here.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, and so I heard Higher Education, and it was just like, dude, hey, what are you doing with that? And he's like, nothing, man, I don't think. I was like, can I listen to that for a little while? He's like, yeah. So he sends it to me, and we're back hanging out at his garage, and I go, dude, what if we, man, you mind if I play that for people? And I start brainstorming, like, because I want to have this, like, cool, like, collaboration, and we start talking about, now our brains start going, we're like, dude, we could call Billy Gibbons, like, let's call him, let's call Kid Rock.
From ZZ Top.
Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, Billy F. Gibbons. let's hit him up. We were on a duck hunt, headed to a duck hunt in Arkansas, and with Lee Bryce on his bus, and we're like, hey, dude, you got to hear this song that we got. And so Lee jumped on it, and it's just truly a bunch of buddies of ours. But But guys have been influential in my career. Even Tim Montana being one of my best friends, you know, a lot of what he does and who he is influential to me. And so it's a collaboration I'm proud of, man. You know, Kid Rock was my first CD I ever bought with my own money when I was in sixth grade.
Did you tell that to him?
Hell yeah, I did.
Did it make him feel like he's an old man?
No, huh? No.
Don't tell me that, yeah. Man. Come on, dog.
I wrote Cowboy. he was, man, my first CD I ever bought. This kid, I was like playing guitar in my hometown and stuff, and he's like, hey, man, you play guitar, I got a CD you need to buy. And I was like, all right. He's like, bring $2 tomorrow. So I think I had to borrow $1 from my dad. And I go, and to the next day, here you go. And he gives me the Ball with a Ball record, and it was Only God Knows Why. Got one for you, Ball with a Ball, Cowboy. You know, and I wore the crap out of that.
As
CD.
We all did, I think, back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to play just a little bit of this for those who want to hear
come on.
A little bit of Higher Education. I'm going to fire it up. And keep on working on my higher education. Good old boy band reputation. School of Hard Knocks with a 4.0. Learning how to rock, learning how to roll. That homegrown in the paper, just a mind. Like, there's all those people who are like, I wish country sounded like old country. I'm telling you guys are going to love. Love, 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 love this album. I mean, there's so much influence from that stuff. It's totally like you said, you went back and you kind of touched on all that again. And you made it cool and fresh, but still kind of paid tribute.
Like you get rock.
I know. Background.
He's like,
I think that was Lee Bryce, actually, now. Yeah.
Every note where you go, oh, my God, that's Kid Rock or Lee Bryce. Yeah, that, and I'm man enough to admit that. That's Lee.
Yeah.
But that 4.0, that was me. Y'all missed that. Y'all missed that part. Was it? You're missing the trees or overlooking the forest with the trees or whatever that saying goes. Whatever that is, that's what y'all just did.
4.0. Yeah. That was me. Did y'all hear that?
Y'all hear it?
It's in the back. It's in the back, man. Don't overlook it with Lee doing his stuff.
Yeah. Well, the higher education, and we can't wait for you to come back in, man. We can talk it all up and
play more. I think people are going to be ready for all this stuff.
For sure. Excited about it. Dude, it's good to see you again. Thanks for dropping by.
You too, man. Y'all too. Thank you for having me.
Catch him on Twitter. He's on there at Michael Ray Music. At Michael Ray Music.